Okay, everybody, welcome to episode 80. Episode 80, season 3. We've done a ton of these. Puff, last week we talked and you said 80 was going to be a tough one. And then when just before you joined, you said, is this number 80? So I'm curious, have you done some research this week? Have you figured out who is number 80?
I did do some research. It is a tough one. There isn't a ton of players that have worn the number. But there's actually it's a sad story, but it's actually kind of a cool story in a way. I think it's cool. The player is Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is a complicated NHL hockey player. He's incredibly talented, but he has worn out his welcome at most of the stops he's been on. He's now in Washington, and he actually had a really good year last year. But he's a very talented player. But I would not say you would assume or you would associate his name with being like a great teammate. I mean, I don't know him personally, but
why is that? I feel like you're holding back on something. Like what is it?
No, it's just, it's always been when he's always been a very talented player, but left teams wanting more. And, you know, you've never associated him with being like, you know, this guy who you're going to build your franchise around, even though talent wise, he is a guy that certainly should have that. But he seems to have found a great fit in Washington with the Capitals. I was doing some research to find someone who's number 80, and he now wears number 80, although he didn't start with the number 80. He had 13 and 18 earlier in his career. He took the number after the death of former Columbus Blue Jackets teammate Matthijs Kivlenets, who died in a fireworks accident. Kivlenets wore 80 in 2 seasons with the Jackets. He jumped in front of a stray mortar to protect his teammate Elvis Merzlikins and his family. And I don't know if you know anything about this story, GCAT. It was a July 4th party at Manny Legacy, who is a goaltending coach for the Jackets at the time. I don't know if he still is. But there was a freak fireworks accident, and he was hit in the chest with one of the fireworks, and he died. But the story is he actually got in the way to protect his teammate and his teammate's pregnant wife, who he was living with at the time. By all accounts, was a great kid. He's only 24 when he died. On his way up, he had just started to establish himself as an NHL backup goalie. And obviously made a big impact on his teammates in Columbus with, Dubois taking his number 80. Because the 80 is normally a number that you would associate with a player who that's a jersey they give you. You know, you're coming up. Oh, you're playing tonight? Here, you're number 80 tonight.
Right.
No one puts their hand up and says, I want to be number 80.
Right.
I think Nick Antropov actually was at one time with the Leafs, but most players, it's not a common number. So a kind of a cool story, sad story, but interesting that
Dubois. Yeah, interesting story.
And sad. Team like that.
Incredibly sad.
Really sad.
Incredibly 24. Like hero move there.
Yeah.
But like, and you also don't hear a lot of like, well, at least I don't, like firework sort of situations like that either. Like, what kind of fireworks were these? Like, you know, these are not the ones I have.
No, I think, Well, I will say up at the Witte Ranch, we've had some pretty decent firework displays. Fair. If you know. Yeah.
I have been to the Witte Ranch and I have seen the fireworks.
Yeah, they put on a show sometimes and I definitely remember this accident, and I remember it causing me to be a little bit more concerned about the safety of all of us as we were firing rockets into the sky.
All right. Well, listen, you overdid yourself on number 80 here. You did do some research. You went into backstory and then another story. So can't wait for 81. Can't wait for 81 next week.
That'll be Phil Kessel.
That will be Phil Kessel. Okay. Little spoiler alert for those listening.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't recorded it. Anyway, it's been a busy week since I last talked to you. I was on my way to London.
Yes.
I am now back from London.
Yes.
Went down to the tournament down there. I don't even know if it had a name. London tournament.
Yes. The green and white tournament. London Knights Junior.
London Knights. We played the London Knights one of the times. London Knights.
Yes. Always a strong organization.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, our main objective was achieved of this trip, which is we had an incredible amount of fun. No, we had an incredible amount of fun. We outdid ourselves with fun and a good time and a great parent group with some really funny stories and a whole bunch of good stuff. So I can chat about that later. There's a whole Nikki Nine Doors situation that went down, which was a lot of fun. Yeah. But yeah, no, we're still working through it. We're still trying to find a couple good wins in front of us. And I think we have a game tonight, a big game tonight against Golding Park, who we had played before and won most of the game. And it was one of those spoilers in the last like minute where they ended up tying and I think winning maybe even.
Yeah, that has been a problem for your U10.
Yeah, that last little bit of time in our stretch. So we're playing tonight, Golding Park, at our home game at Thursdays. As you know, I've seen you there before, 6:10. So what can I say about London? We did not come home with a win, but we came home with a lot of great memories. That's what I could say. We stayed at the Lamplighter, great hotel. And we've done it 2 years in a row. It's probably the last time we'll be at the Lamplighter for some time, is my guess. But I'm assuming we're doing other tournaments as the kids get older, the Lamplighter isn't necessary
Nikki Nine Doors incident.
Well, maybe, the Nikki Nine Doors situation did escalate throughout the evening. It was like, you played Nikki Nine Doors, I'm sure, when you were.
Well, one sec. I played Nikki Nine Doors. The kids call it Ding Dong Ditch.
Yeah, they call it Ding Dong Ditch now. Yes. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so it hasn't Ding been. Dong.
It's the same Nikki thing, though, isn't it?
Yes, exact same
thing. Yeah, okay, sorry. My age is showing. Episode 80, sorry. Anyway, Ding Dong Ditch. So when you play Ding Dong Ditch, I think one of the first rules is you don't do it in your own backyard. You know, you don't do it on your neighbor. You go to another street, a few streets over, and you play there. You don't run across the street, hit, and run home, right?
Well, where I grew up, it was like kind of a townhouse apartment complex.
Okay.
And it was the best place ever to do it because we could just run through the hallways pounding on doors.
Right.
And so we did do it in our own backyard and got chased for it.
Well, Puffy, maybe this was a bit of the lesson they did not learn because they were playing, Ding Dong Ditch in our own hallway, right? So you could always see, like, we run down the hallway, they jump into our, not my room, but like the room that was the host. Anyway, it escalated. It didn't, I can't say everyone thought it was as fun as I'm sure as a couple of the kids on our team. And I'm sure the kids on our team didn't find it fun at the end, but all to make a very good story. The other person we were got upset and then like the manager had to be called. And actually at one point, one of the doors was covered in maple syrup from the people. And so it got a little bit like past fun, it got a little bit past.
Escalated in a hurry.
Yeah. Escalated. There was some movement of a room afterwards just to leave. Wanted to get away from. Anyway, nothing really major happened after that, but it was a really good story. And I know Clive has been telling this story all week. Actually, he's been talking about Ding Dong Ditch all week. And the first thing whenever I'm driving them, I drove a couple of them to their practice this week. I was like, oh yeah, tell me I didn't do it. I didn't do it. The innocence immediately of not doing it anyway. But yeah, we had a great great time. We had a ref there that the refereeing I thought was pretty good. We did have a parent have to exit, but I didn't think it was that big of an exit. I actually thought it was like they were just making a compliment or just making a comment on a play. And then right at the beginning of the game, the ref was having none of it and like asked them to leave the rink and had to stand behind like the, like another window kind of thing. So, but it was all fun. So we had lots of good stories. It was a great time. We had lots of good stories.
That's the most polite way of saying that a parent got booted from the area.
Yeah. I'm a polite guy. I like to walk the line, of politeness.
It does seem like we've hit the sort of witching hour in the GTHL hockey season or just the minor hockey season where there's a little more incidents like parents getting booted, coaches.
Yeah.
This past week, I know in Barrett's age, I think a quarter of the coaches have been kicked out of games.
Really?
Referees have probably had enough of this. Coaches have had enough of the referees. Kids are still leaving teams. It's unbelievable. Like,
I know. Yeah. It's lots crazy. Water.
Yeah, it's late November in the G and everything's happening.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Cliver's team. We're coming back.
One question for you. For the parent who was politely asked to watch politely the game from somewhere else, what was – were they like – did they handle it like, I stepped
super
over?
Super pro.
Yeah.
Super pro. Yeah. We, no problem. Walked away. You know, I maybe got a comment, one last comment in, but like very you know, it hovers on like frustration and humor. It's not like insulting, you know. It's just like the – I think it was just, it's good banter sometimes, you know, but, handled it like a pro.
I have never, shockingly, never been asked to leave in a rink or been kicked off the bench or I've never had a bench minor.
Really? Which
I've been close for sure. Canyon's got a bench minor with me on the bench, which was awesome.
Really? Really? Yes. That's funny. I would have thought you would have had more, actually. I would have thought you would have had some, at least, I guess.
Well, it definitely helped that Tanya was on the bench with me. Because there were several times where she settled me down pretty quick.
That happens at home, too. There's lots of this is happening regularly. You run hot.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she
That's the she one thing people down. Think of when they think of Puffy. He runs hot.
Run hot.
Least thing I think about it, probably. Anyway, moving on. So big game tonight. We'll see how that turns out. And then, Aussie's team, they're on a bit of a roll. Since we last talked, we came home from Montreal. We had a couple games. We beat Don Mills. And worst rink ever, by the way. I'm just on record. Worst rink, Don Mills, Civil 10. And for those who follow us on the Instagram, that was the benches that I filmed this week. They were from Don Mills.
I got a few people asking about that.
Yeah, so that one's a Don Mills one. We played North York up at St. Mike's. Great barn. Okay, snack bar. That's my reco on St. Mike's. Great barn. Okay, snack bar. And then we went to one of my favorite rinks last night for Herb Carnegie, one of my favorite rinks, and great snack bar. And we won all those games last night. We were down 3-1 going into third, 1-5-3.
Wow. I guess sir,
Goulding Park. And this team really, you know, knows how to dig in. You know, it's not a team so far, I would say, or that I noticed in the last little game when they're down, because we're down most of those games that we've won. We've come back. Wow. It's not like we have like major leads. Yeah. So we always fight back. So great team. So anyway, lots of good. And then the Ice Dogs. The Ice Dogs are on a two game losing streak here, but we're on it Monday. It looks like you'll be at the game Monday.
I'll be there. I'll get to go.
I don't think I will be actually, unfortunately, because I got Ozzy's game.
Text.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Ice Dogs.
Okay. Well, I could be on Ice Dogs duty. We were the loudest parents in that.
We were definitely the loudest parents. Yeah, we were giving it to Minsky, the ref. Minsky the ref. Anyway, he didn't call a lot. 9 o'clock game at East House League game doesn't get a lot of calls.
Well, sort of speaking of that, we played Barrett's team played Goulding Park last night at Scarborough Centennial, and 9:25 start.
That's late.
I would say every third icing they actually called. There was a lot. They had one where. Goulding Park iced the puck. It deflected off their player's stick, but he was still on his side of center ice, and it went down the ice, and the ref did the old. Touched him. It's still icing.
Yeah.
He's still on the wrong side. They just wanted to get out of Dodge.
They wanted to get out.
That's the easiest
call to wave off, because I feel like
– Yeah.
I feel like it's like a give me. It's just like, wave it off. You know, like keep going.
Then I think you got to tell the coaches.
Fair.
Let's get out of here.
9:10 I'm going to wave off.
I'm not calling icing. Because otherwise, you just have. If I was on the bench, I would have been losing it the whole game.
Yeah.
But you weren't. Game last night for the Tie Cats.
How did they do?
They won 2-1. It was a. I felt like I was at the grade 3 cross country where I knew every kid running.
Right.
It's both teams are loaded with Withrow Park area kids.
Oh, so, really? Goulding Park is too? Interesting.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that are from our neighborhood. And I would say that there was a lot of spirited conversations on the ice. There was some big hits. Is it as good as
ball hockey?
Yeah, it was I mean, I'm sure the kids had fun. It was a tight game, 2-1 win, but it was definitely some familiar connections out there.
Familiar connections. Okay. And what kind of hockey do you have in front of you this week? Anything big?
I think we play Sunday against Markham, who's turned into a bit of a rival for us. I would say their parents and are a bit nuts. So
any Markham parents listening?
Yeah.
Certified nuts.
Yeah. If any of them are listening, I'm sure that I'll be accosted at the rink because they're,
that's okay. Just don't wear the crazy hoodie. Just don't wear the hoodie.
I'll just get my buddy Jeremy to come and help me out. Right. And then we got Silver Stick next week.
Oh yeah, you were saying that up in the Sudbury. So heading up there Thursday.
I think Thursday. Yeah, maybe Thursday morning. We play Thursday afternoon. They really spread out the tournament.
Check out the townhouse.
Townhouse. Okay. Townhouse. Yeah, we're gonna go to a Wolves game on the Friday. Yeah. I think.
Sweet.
And there's a bunch of teams from the G that are gonna be up there. So.
Yeah, good. That's a great segue. What's going on with the G Puff? What do we got hot right now? What's going on? Who's hot? Who's not? Who's the players we want to talk about? Teams we want to talk about?
Well, as usual, we'll start in the U16 AAA division nearing the halfway point of the regular season. And there's only one team that has not lost a regular season game. And it's not first place JRC, but rather the second place Vaughn Kings, our producer Stoff's favorite team. It's no surprise that the Kings are off to a great start after bringing in some top talent in the GTHL into their lineup this year. But what's been a surprise has been their lack of tournament success, suffering their only two losses of the season in tournament play, the quarters to the Markham Majors in the Toronto Titans early bird and to Don Mills in the semis in the London AAA tournament. The Kings will have a chance to change their tournament luck next weekend when they're in their Silver Stick finals. So in AAA, they don't do regionals like they do in single and double A. You get invited. The top teams get invited and they play right in the finals. And there's just the one tournament. And this year, I think it's in Whitby a lot for the AAA. I haven't really followed it as much because we've never been in it. But
I believe
Whitby usually hosts the AAA version. Unfortunately, it's next weekend. Otherwise, I'd like to go watch some of the games. But we'll be in Sudbury. But there's six other G teams, so there'll be seven in total looking to win, which is probably the second biggest tournament of the U16 AAA season behind the OHL Cup, which all the kids are always gearing up for. Speaking of undefeated Vaughn Kings teams, the 2011 Kings have outdone the 2010s, going a perfect 12-0 in the regular season action, but they have also struggled in tournament play, failing to take home any titles. However, in GTHL play, it hasn't been close. Only once this season have they won by only one goal, with a goal differential of 72 goals for and just 13 goals against in 12 games. Barring a major upset, the Kings should stay perfect until 2026. Tournaments continued last weekend, as we've talked about, in London, both inside and outside of Toronto. GCAT, you were in London with that green and white AA tournament. Got it.
Love
now, London. I know your Thunder didn't do great, but a couple of G teams
we had a good time.
Did. You guys won the party. Other teams won the hardware. In your U10 division, the Forest Hill Forest lost their opening game 2-0 to the host London Knights Green, but then stormed back to win five straight games, allowing just three goals to win the tournament, beating London Green in a 3-1 in the final. Are you surprised that Forest Hill team was the team that won that tournament?
Yeah, I think so. I am a little surprised. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who we played. We played London. We played this team, Oakland. We played Forest Hill. And we played another one. I'm drawing a blank on who the fourth one was. But anyway, I don't think our hardest match was against Forest Hill, if I'm thinking it correctly. I think the London
Green.
The London Knights were the ones that were a little bit tougher on us. But so a little shock, but good. I mean, Forest Hill seems to have a great club throughout the ages. You know what I mean? Like in Aussies single A, like it's always Forest Hill. Like now in Clive's it's Forest Hill. It's a good organization. The Larry Gross produced some good players.
They definitely, and I think with Forest Hill, they definitely have a loyalty factor. Like kids usually that are at Forest Hill, they stay at Forest Hill. There was some movement Especially as they've gotten older, Barrett's age, there's definitely that the Forest Hill team was always like, it was always young Bruins, us, and Forest Hill were the three top teams. And I'd say in the last year or so, they've sort of slid back. But at the single A level, they're the first place team. So they're right. they're strong, both single and double A, pretty much all through.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I saw that they did win, though. So congrats to Forest Hill.
Yeah, it's always big to get your first tournament victory as a GTHL team.
We're waiting.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, we're gonna wait.
I think you guys are gonna start getting on a roll here coming up.
I feel like tonight is the beginning of a domino of success.
Yeah,
I'm calling it now.
You guys just need to finish out a win, and then it's gonna roll from there. Okay, still in London, in the U12 final, another G team came out on top, and this was the Toronto Eagles. They won a perfect 6-0, which included wins over GTHL rivals Faustina Toros and the Mississauga Beast. In the final against the Sioux Greyhounds, the Eagles fell behind by 2 midway through the first, only to storm back with 4 straight goals to take a 4-2 lead in the third, eventually taking the title with a 6-3 win. The win moved the Eagles into the top 10 in the Ontario rankings, joining fellow G teams North Toronto and the East Ender Ticats. Closer to home, the GTHL hosted the A Challenge last weekend at Scotia Pond Arena for teams U14 to U18. Now, I know you guys weren't in there. You're Ice Raiders. Aussie said not great teams in your age group. Duffield won it, and they're not great. That was Aussie's assessment.
Yes, that's what he did say, didn't he? And yeah, I don't know much about Duffield. I never we've played them once at Aussie's level years ago, so I don't really have my finger on the pulse on them. I know at Clive's age, when we were younger, when we were like a bulldog, so going back to like 7 years old, seven, six, 7 years old, Duffield was like wildly good. They were just like dancing all around us. So I don't know the different age groups, but I don't know if Aussie's
Duffield is where young superstars are born.
Really?
I honestly think the Duffield organization goes to local hospitals and just like looks at the babies and see which kids are going to be
picks
good.
Why are they good in your division?
They seem to always have the top kids at the U7 through U9, and then because all these kids are really good, they all end up going to JRC and the Marlboros and Duffield Devils, and they go boop. They've never figured out the U10 to U18 GTHL, but they own the market on that NYHL.
Yeah, I guess it's a training ground because you have to go up to that rink that's at, like Kipling and like Wilson or something like that. It's like way over, like far away, Downsview or rink or something it's called. But if you're already doing that, it's now you're just up the road a bit more to Scotia Pond, AAA. So I see why they would lose them out to those teams. That's the problem with AAA is for us in the East. The problem with AAA for us in the East is like the amount of, if you don't make Don Mills Flyers, you're traveling like crazy to get to the rinks.
Yeah. Especially at the younger ages. I've noticed that like U15, U16 for sure, there's less about home rinks. It's like they do like nights where all the teams sort of play, and it seems to be Scotia Pond, Westwood, they'll go through these rinks, but there's no one has a home rink. But certainly at the younger age, like if you're Don Mills, you play Vic Village. Yeah. But if you're Mississauga Rebels, you're playing Iceland. 18 games a year at Iceland. Like, what kid in the East can really do that? I'm sure some do it, but it's tough on the parents, especially when they're young, because that's a 6'10".
There's a kid on Aussie's team who's a really good goalie, and he was at, I forget where he was, and he lives in Ajax, and last year he played for Humber Valley Sharks. So he was driving across the city from Ajax to North Etobicoke playing and then coming back home. And then, so now he's on he's a wonderful goalie. We're really glad to have him, but so he has done it. And I was like, when his parents told me, I was like, what, you drove from Ajax? Like you are showing that you love your son more than I love my son is what you're showing.
It's true.
I do love them.
But you don't have 45 minutes of driving love in them.
45 minutes. That would be like an hour and a half is my guess.
Yeah, I guess that would be a little. A
45
little.
Minutes is like traffic on the way to Ted Reeve, you know, but like an hour and a half highway driving just, to Iceland.
In Toronto driving on Main Street. Ugh. Killing me these days.
Oh, I know. Coming north on Pape. Anyway, sorry. So what else we got going on?
So the back to the A challenge in U14, a bit of a surprise. As North York Knights took home the title. The Knights are just 2-5-1 in the regular season in G play, and they doubled that win total, going 4-1-1 over the course of the weekend, beating Waterloo 4-2 in the semis, then upsetting Kitchener 1-0 in the final. William Bowers was the story between the pipes. He went 3-0, including two shutouts in the tournament. U15 saw another G team come out on top, and again, it was an upset. Leaside Flames gold. Leaside Gold, currently sixth place in the G standings, went 4-1-1 over the weekend, beating Avenue Road 4-1 in the semis before beating the third-ranked team in Ontario, West Hill, 3-2 in the final. West Hill's Carter Gonslaves had an incredible tournament with 4 goals and 8 assists over 6 games. And finally, U16 once
something
again
with the name G Connor. Team. Did you just say his name was Connor?
Carter. Sorry, Carter. Did I say Connor? Okay. It's Carter.
I was about Connor. To say, no, Carter's fine. You probably said Carter. I heard Connor because I just like every time I hear the word Connor, immediately a good hockey player. Thoughts?
Well, McDavid. I mean,
Bedard.
Yeah.
Right? Like all of a sudden there's a couple big.
And hold on. Gonslaves. No, he's and Carter.
He's Carter. Damn it. Sorry, I interrupted your flow. Okay, continue on.
No problem. And finally, U16 once again saw a G team come out on top, but this time it wasn't a surprise. The Scarborough Ice Raiders, your U16 a farm team, I would guess, has just one loss all season, and they continued their winning ways all weekend. Perfect 6-0, allowing just 7 goals against all weekend, beating the Toronto Eagles 2-1 in overtime in the final. So that was a close one. Nathan Pittman scored the winner. He's a Withrow Park kid, ball hockey. And the offense was led all weekend by Benjamin Heffron, who had 8 goals and 4 assists over 6 games. I think Benjamin Heffron might have been an old East York Bulldog, too, back in the day.
Hmm. So we actually had a call-up yesterday, and the last name was Pittman. So I don't, but that's, it must be a bro, like,
no, that's him.
That's him. But he would be, yeah. He was
U16.
U16. Right. Yeah. U16. Yeah. So Pittman was on our team last night, actually.
Oh, so he had the game winning goal right to the show. U17.
Really? Right. He went right up to the show. Yeah. He was on our team. He's come and played for us for a few times. Anyway, good for him. Congratulations, Pittman. Congrats.
Yep. That's big win. That's awesome. And that's all
that's what's going on in the G. Okay. Well, you know what I've got today? I've got a little history lesson for us today.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about one of my favorite barns and a little bit of my favorite, one of my, I would say nemesis organizations though. Favorite barn nemesis organization. It's a love hate relationship because I love their venue. I really don't like their teams usually. I appreciate them listening, but as a Ted Reeve and then now as a Scarborough, they're like our nemesis, even though I think they have one of the best marks.
I have no idea who this team
North
is.
North Toronto. I'm talking about North Toronto.
Oh, wow.
North Toronto. Yeah. I love the rink. I love their colors.
I agree. I'm with you on both of those.
It's always just one of those things that we always have spicy games and like, you know, the parents and like, I just, you know, I can't like North Toronto, but I'm going to talk a little bit about North Toronto. North Toronto Memorial Arena, located on Orchard View Boulevard in Toronto, was built and opened in 19, guess, Puffy? 19, what do you think that building
63.
Was built? 63. Wow, you're very close. You're very close. 65. Oh, 65. Okay. Yeah. It was named after Memorial because it was just actually named after all the servicemen and soldiers and service women, I guess, too, from the North Toronto area from the First and Second World War. So that is why it's called North Toronto Memorial Arena. They have the very distinctive green, red, green, white color scheme for North Toronto, and really crystallized that through the 80s and 90s. And gave it a local badge, I guess is what you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. The couple key players from there, Tom Wilson, you know, Tom Wilson.
Yep.
Key player. Who's Tom
Wilson? Hangs.
Yeah.
He is a, Washington Capitol Stanley Cup champion.
Still.
Still. One of the preeminent power forwards in the NHL right now.
Playing with our friend number 80.
Yes. Dubois. And I would say probably top five best looking guys in the NHL.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah,
Tanya would take her hall pass with Tom Wilson.
Okay, Tom Wilson. And then another one is Eric. I don't know if you've ever, when you're at the rink, if you ever noticed, the rink is actually called the Eric and Wheeler rink. Do you know who?
Oh,
did you know that? They also have like a media box, or like the scorekeeper box is named after
someone. Which I'm desperate to get up into. I think we should qualify.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. North Toronto, I actually love your rink. I actually love your teams. You should invite Puffy and I to come up into that. What do you call that? Is it called
the gondola. Scorekeeper
box?
Gondola.
The gondola. Okay. Eric Anwheeler, who was not necessarily a big NHLer. I don't even think he went to the NHL, but he was a local involved person in the community and a volunteer at the rink, and they named the rink after him there. So really good. It's serves as a major hub for hockey and figure skating and all those kinds of things. And it has, since the club and the teams have started in 1965, it has serviced over 30,000 players. Of all age groups and abilities, of course, you know, and yeah, they've got a great, you know, 2015 to 2016 marked the 50th anniversary of the North Toronto. They're just called North Toronto, right? They don't actually have a name, do they?
I don't think they have anything. Yeah.
That's North actually Toronto a bold Hockey move as I'm talking here, like just to be Ted Reeve and scrap the Thunder. We don't need the Thunder. We're just Ted Reeve.
Yeah.
We're Scarborough.
I also love the fact that they like a lot of the organizations, which makes sense, is sort of adopted like NHL colors, like the EastEnders. Sure. We have the Pittsburgh Penguins color scheme.
Yeah,
but North Toronto is like no, we're North Toronto. This is like, I think even Drake wore their jersey in a music video.
That is true, or something.
Yeah. Like it's a North Toronto is like it's an iconic color scheme jersey in hockey.
You're right Okay, North Toronto's coming around for me, but I think that's actually a bold move to just be a team that just is a city. And imagine like Toronto Maple Leafs were just Toronto. Like, yeah, we don't even need a name. Actually, I like
that. Well,
North Toronto, good on you.
The PWHL, they had that their first year where they were just like Toronto, Montreal.
Yeah.
But then they
gave them names.
You know what? I don't agree with you, because like Washington, they used to be the Redskins. And then for it being racist, they decided to go to Washington Football Club.
Right.
And that was sort of, that sort of sucked when they were just Washington.
That does suck, actually.
But now they're just Commanders, Washington, which also sucks.
Yeah, Commanders is not a great name either. But if they were just Washington, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Listen, I think it works sometimes, maybe not. But I'm actually like, that's cool that North Toronto does it. Anyway.
Wait till they have their new stadium, and it'll be Donald Trump, President Trump, Alice. Because that's what they have to just name it to get their money.
That is true. That is true. So they have the Green Wall of Honor over at North Toronto. It's to commemorate the longtime players, volunteers, coaches who's contributed to the club's legacy. So if you're ever there, take a gander down the Green Wall Hall, Green Hall Wall. Anyway.
Also, a cool thing, I don't know if you're going to mention, but at the front, they have a puck, like a puck display.
Yes, the puck display. And if you look closely in there,
there's
a Drake one.
There is. You're right.
There's an OVO puck in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a little bit about the North Toronto, a little bit about that organization. Kudos to them for having such a cool arena. I like when you walk in, you got the double stairs up too. It's like this team goes over there, this team goes up there. You know, they were thinking that out.
I love the glass with all the light coming in.
I'm actually an underrated snack bar. Completely and utterly underrated. No one talks about the North Toronto snack bar. Hot dogs on point. Hot dog on point. Variety of snacks. Sometimes I get an all-dressed chips there.
We get the fries and gravy.
Yeah.
It's not Ted Reeve.
No.
But it's only a little step. It's a half step down. That's not much.
So anyway, we're Great Barn. Kudos to a Great Barn. And on the other side of this story is a little bit of a sadder story, is Weston Arena, Lions Arena, has voted. The city has voted, and it is going to be torn down.
For condos?
Did you know that?
For condos.
For like a community center. Oh, that's nice. But like, I think in this day and age, we're putting men on the moon. We're putting, we've invented vaccines.
I don't know if we're putting men on the moon anymore.
Maybe not. We haven't done that. But I'm just saying, we've advanced so much.
Yes.
Can we not keep the arena and build it into a new structure to give it a whole bunch of stuff? Yeah. So you keep the element of that arena and then just build around it and build part of it and like contribute. Like that arena is such a good arena. There should be a petition on that arena. And I think they should keep that arena.
They did it with Maple Leaf Gardens. They built the Loblaws around it.
Great point.
And it's still used for Ryerson hockey. And,
definitely.
And, I'm sure other
That's
stuff.
What they should do.
I don't know if it's called Ryerson anymore, right? It's TMU.
TMU. That's also racist.
But like Weston is
Ryerson. I think racist is racist. I think Ryerson's racist.
Racism's back.
Yeah.
So Weston, I think, is – it's not Maple Leaf Gardens, but it ain't far off Maple Leaf Gardens
as
far as being an iconic building for hockey in this city. We can 100%. Build around it.
Yeah.
Or on top of it or whatever we have to do.
Shout out to Brad Bradford. Oh. Voted against it. Voted against it, Brad Bradford.
Well, he is on the East York Rink Boards.
That's correct. That's correct. He is actually. You're right. I don't know much about him at all, but someone sent me the vote thing, and there was a couple others that, you know, maybe two or three voted no, but Brad Bradford was one. I noticed that.
You know what Brad Bradford is? A friend of minor hockey in this community.
He is a friend of minor hockey in this community. Brad Bradford.
Brad Bradford for mayor.
And when you have, I think he ran actually, and also
Damn it,
cool
I
name.
Voted from.
Imagine your name was Sean Schonford.
I thought about naming one of the boys Cam Cameron, and then got married.
Yeah. That's like me. I was going to try to.
No
I tried,
woman would let that happen.
Cam, I tried to give Ozzy when he was born. I tried very hard to get Martha to agree to his middle name to be Danger, because I was like, no one cares about your middle name. No one cares about your middle name. But in 20 years, when Ozzy's at university, and you know he can say Danger is my middle name. I mean, classic. Set up for him like a long play game, a long play joke, but we'll kick off a conversation in any room for the rest of his life.
Yeah. 100%.
Middle name Danger. But I did not also get that accepted. So anyone listening that doesn't have children, you can take that one.
I think someone should grab it.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too. All right. Well, that's it. We've talked a lot. We've had a good episode here. Puff, we always do the song of the week, as you know.
Yes.
And I always ask you, do you want to go first? You always say yes. So do you want to go first? You gotta
Oh, sure.
Sure. What do you got?
Nope. So I know a great tradition at Ted Reeve Arena is to play Thunderstruck by AC/DC when they come out in the ice at Ted Reeve Arena. And it's a great song. Can't beat Thunderstruck.
Can't.
It's awesome. But your U10AA Thunder are going through a little bit of a hard time. Yeah. And sometimes it's good to change it up.
Right.
And so I have found an alternative to Thunderstruck that you guys can come out to. It's a song called Thunder by Gabri Ponte and Lumix and some other artist I can't pronounce. Dancey, kind of good energy vibe.
Right.
Give it a try. I think that maybe this turns the fortunes around for your team.
Okay. Okay. I'll pass it on to our team manager. Stuff tells me what the song is. That's good. Okay, good. I like it. Another Thunder. I like your thinking. I like the depth behind that one. You had some purpose to it. My purpose or my song this week is a throwback. I actually don't even know what year, but if you remember the movie Judgment Night, do you remember that movie, Judgment Night?
Sneaky one of the, it was 1993.
I was going to say 93.
The only reason why I know that that's 93, it's my first year of university at Western. And me and my roommate, Joseph, we would go every Tuesday to the movies and we'd go to one and then we'd sneak into another. So I saw basically every movie that came out in the fall of 93. And that was awesome. Stephen Dorff, what's his name? Dennis Leary.
Sneaky,
great movie. And Sneaky, great movie. Soundtrack.
So this is where I'm going. They have a wonderful soundtrack. The soundtrack was innovative at its time. It took all like hip-hop artists at the time with rock bands and put them together. Yes. And they wrote a song, I think, deliberately for the movie Judgment Night. It was like Pearl Jam with Cypress Hill or, Helmet with like De La Soul or whatever it was. You know, it was all these sort of, you know, Pearl Jam with, you know, someone, you know, I forget who it was. But anyway, so the one I have was Del the Funky Homo Sapien you've ever heard of him, which is the rapper in the Gorillaz, if you ever listen to the Gorillaz.
Yeah.
Okay, so Del the Funky Homo Sapien with Dinosaur Jr. They have this song called Missing Link. I just had my iPod on shuffle this morning as I was driving, and it came on, and I was just like, this is the song I'm going to use. This is a fantastic song. I love this song. One of my favorites. I blared it while I was driving Clive to school. And so Missing Link by Del the Funky Homo Sapien and Dinosaur Jr. from the Judgment Night soundtrack. Letting the kids that don't know anything about 1993 hip-hop a little secret on this one. This one's for you.
That is the soundtrack 1 to 14 or whatever, how many tracks
you can go the whole way.
Play it. It's the whole way. Things, yeah. Are there soundtracks now for movies that are popular?
No, everything is over. They don't have anything anymore. It
doesn't seem like they have that.
It's not even a movie. Are there movies even? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. Because they just come straight to Netflix. I always assume that
everything's
they bombed
just
at the
right
box
here
office,
on my phone.
They don't even do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's got time for soundtracks.
We've come too far. We need to go back. Let's
actually,
shut
that K-pop.
Down.
Well, yeah, let's roll it back. That K-pop Demon Hunters movie I know has a sound. Like, I think songs get launched through like movies like that, you know?
Okay.
Like, but anyway, I don't think there's like the soundtrack. Like history that we used to have. Actually, I did buy Judgment Night on vinyl, like when I first got my record player. And a few months ago, I was shopping at getting some records, and I bought the Back to the Future soundtrack on vinyl, actually.
Okay, I'm sure there's some bangers on that.
Oh, there's a banger on that one by Lindsey Buckingham. Lindsey Buckingham has a time bomb. It's called Time Bomb Splash or something like that. Great song by Lindsey Buckingham. But
okay,
we'll save that for next week. All right, Puff. Well, anyway, that's our episode this week. Thanks for everybody for listening. We'll be back next week with Everything in the G. Appreciate you listening. If you have any questions, comments, let us know. Tell your friends. Like, share, please. We appreciate it. And if there's any other messages for anybody, Puff?
No. Go messages. Oh, you know what? My message is to the coaches, let's calm the temperature. Let's calm it down.
I like it.
Parents, let's calm it down. Referees, let's not dial it up either. Let's all try to get along.
Relax. Let the kids play. Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you all next week. Have a good week in the G. See you.